ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
Do you know what your role is in any ministry or as a pastor? You're a servant. You're not in for the power. God will use you. God will raise up things. He'll open doors for you. When I went to Russia, I wasn't looking to go to Russia. God opened the door. In fact, Dima from Calvary Chapel in Kaluga asked me to come out. I'm like, wow. You know, I didn't even know you knew about me. I didn't know him from Adam. So God opens those doors. I wasn't looking for anything. In verse 5 here, we see she's called, there's this mystery. It's not part of her name. It speaks of a hidden truth that's spiritually discerned. But her name is placed on her forehead, just as the harlots did. They placed their names on their foreheads during John's time. And her name was Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth. Here's the fascinating thing to me, guys. This hidden truth, this mystery, takes us back to the beginning, to the book of Genesis, back to Babel. Its name means the gate of God. And to a man named Nimrod, whose name means we will rebel. And this man is said to be a mighty hunter, not of wild animals, but of men's souls. And it's here that Nimrod and his followers built a tower, not to reach God or the stars, but the spirit world, the occult. It was a tower in defiance of God. You know, keep in mind, Nimrod is the great-grandson of Noah. We're not down that many generations right from the flood, and already we have a man who's living in rebellion against God. Nimrod had a wife named Semiramis. She claimed to be this powerful prophetess of God, and after Nimrod died, she claimed to have been visited by Nimrod and conceived a child without sexual relations, an immaculate conception, you might say. Does that sound familiar? It should. This child was to be the savior of the world, or so she claimed. And she was the queen mother of heaven, the queen of heaven. That title the Catholic Church gave to Mary, the queen of heaven, right? The Protestant Church is also embracing this. Well, she gave birth to a son called Tammuz. And the story gets even more interesting here. One day he was out and a wild beast killed him. 3 days later, he was resurrected, but Tammuz could only be approached in his resurrected state through his mother, Semiramis. You had to go through her to get to him. Does that sound familiar? You have to go through Mary to get to Jesus at all? That sounds very familiar. If you look at a lot of the ancient artifacts that have been found, you have the mother, Semiramis, holding the Savior infant, Tammuz. Does that sound familiar? It should. And it doesn't end there. Each spring, the people would color eggs in honor of the miraculous resurrection from the dead of Tammuz. Guess what they did in the wintertime? They would deck evergreen trees with silver and gold in honor of his miraculous virgin birth. Does that sound familiar? Wow, it should. I find this so fascinating, how Satan corrupts things and he puts false things in. Satan knew of Genesis 3:15, right? The seed of the woman. And he began to twist it very early on during the time of Nimrod. Now, let's fast forward all the way to the Babylonian Empire. In Babylon, the chief priests wore crowns that were made in the shape of a fish's head to honor the fish god. And on their crowns, they had the words keeper of the bridge, which was symbolic of the bridge between man and Satan, not God. And this was adapted by the Roman emperors, who used the Latin title Pontifex Maximus, which means major keeper of the bridge. Really, right out of Babylon. How in the world did these practices, pagan practices, Christmas, Easter, and all this stuff get incorporated into the church. Well, it began with Nimrod and then Babylon. They picked up on it. They established this in their kingdom in the same area where Nimrod lived. And when the Medo-Persian Empire defeated the Babylonians, the religious leaders moved from Babylon to Pergamos. And remember the letter that Jesus wrote to the church in Pergamos back in Revelation chapter 2. He said, I know your works and where you dwell, where Satan's throne is. And you hold fast to my name and did not deny my faith, even in the days in which Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was killed among you where Satan dwells. Where was Satan dwelling? There in Pergamos. Why? Because the Babylonian priests moved after the fall of Babylon from Babylon to Pergamos. Then we come to 312 AD with Constantine. He came to power. He united the church to the world. He made Christianity the state religion. And the church that was strong under the persecution, the martyrdom in the church of Smyrna. The church of Smyrna. Now that it's united with the world, it's become very weak. Very, very weak. Constantine had this conversion experience. He was in a war and he needed more help. And he prayed, and supposedly it was this sign in the sky to conquer this cross. And he got these people called Christians to join him in this battle. And he was victorious, and he made Christianity the state religion. Guess what happened? Satan's throne moved from Pergamos to Rome as Constantine married the church to the world. And Constantine allowed these pagan priests and their practices to come right into the church. And now we see the ramifications of that today. You may ask, well, why do you celebrate Christmas here at Calvary? Because we know Jesus was born. He probably wasn't born on December 25th. He could have, probably not. But that's the time when non-Christians come to church, right? And so I use it as an evangelism day. I teach believers the truths of God found in the Word of God, and I evangelize those that are coming on Christmas and Easter, the things of God, so they can come to saving faith, the gospel message. So I don't care what day you call it. I'm just teaching the Word of God. Because of this, you can understand why Roman Catholicism is so messed up, because they've merged so many pagan practices with Christianity, and they don't mix. And, you know, I was involved in the Roman Catholic Church for years, so I understand these things. But again, these are nothing more. And please, you know, you could send me your emails and letters. These are doctrines of demons. Why? Because they're not truths of God found in the Word of God. These are things added. They're not the truth. Go to a Roman Catholic Church. What do you see? You see Mary and you see baby Jesus. That's, well, again, you know the pictures of Mary and Jesus, right? These are all the pagan gods. Isis and Horus, Semiramis and Tammuz, Parvati and Murgan from Hinduism. They all worship the infant. The mother and the infant came right into the church. So we have to be careful. Jesus is not an infant. He's our Savior. Never forget that. Was he born of the Virgin Mary? Absolutely. Was Mary used mightily by God? Absolutely. But here's the thing. Mary was a sinner in need of a Savior like all of us. So we got to be careful not to elevate her to being sinless, to the one we have to go to because she'll speak to her son and, you know, Jesus listens to her mother. That's just wrong. Obviously, we understand that. So we understand why this is the mother of harlots. All these false religious practices are being done in the name of God. And that's, again, a very dangerous place to go. It's a counterfeit religious system. Well, look at verse 6 here in Revelation 17. And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs. Isn't that interesting? This is a religious system. Worshiping God, what are they doing? They're killing the saints of God. And when I saw her, I marveled with great amazement. Yeah, I bet. John Wolvert said, false religion is always the worst enemy of true religion. Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, it's one of the sad commentaries on the church or the false church, this persecution of the true church. In the Inquisition, the church put to death over 50 million Christians. I think in the days we're living in and on into the tribulation period, where it will intensify and it will be worse than any other period of time in history, we're going to see persecution growing. You don't believe it? Just look at what happened with truckers in Canada. Okay? Well, that's not a church. No, it's not. But when you stand up for the truths of God found in the Word of God, it's going to happen to you. They had some of their bank accounts frozen. They were arrested for what? They were protesting peacefully. That's coming, guys. It's coming. So what are we going to do? We're going to do what we've always done. Teach the Word of God, worship our God, and bring the gospel message to the lost. That can never change. I always think of Paul in prison, and he wrote Philippians, right? The epistle of joy. How could he do that? Because he kept preaching even in prison. You see, no matter where you're at, no matter what situation, it may be really difficult, understand God is still working. And in the darkest times, he can shine brightly through us. Never forget that. It's interesting that the church is becoming weaker and weaker because we're depending upon programs instead of the Spirit of God. We're moving away from the Word of God, and we're doing more of an entertainment and just kind of a fun teaching and not letting the Spirit of God speak through us. When I come up here to teach, I always pray, Lord, keep me open to your Spirit's leading. Because if there's something you want me to say that's not here in my notes, I want to say it. Keep me open. Keep me sensitive. Because I want to speak for you. I don't want it to be my words. You know, George Gallup and Jim Castelli did some research on biblical illiteracy. And they wrote, Americans revere the Bible, but by and large, they don't read it. And because they don't read it, they have become a nation of biblical illiterates. Here's the thing. And when I was a kid, we had a Bible on our coffee table. I don't even know if there's coffee tables out there today. But we had a coffee table, and we had the big Bible, and it was out there. We never read it. I kind of looked at pictures once in a while because they had pictures in it. We never read it. That's what Christians are doing. This becomes an idol. Well, look at my big Bible. Well, you're revering it, but are you reading it? You see, you need to read it. It's amazing what people will spend time doing, and you really don't have to think much about it because here we are in 2022. And look at the hours people spend on Facebook or YouTube or whatever social media site, and they don't have time to read the Bible. I just didn't have time today. And one writer observed how skillfully many Christian teachers from the patristic age to the Reformation were able to range across the whole Bible without any of the props and crutches we rely on because they had stored it in the palace of memory. Yeah, what did David say? No, that he has stored the Word of God in his heart that he may not sin against God. It's in there. Why? Because he's taken it into his life. You know, you have to read it. You have to understand it. The adults in the U.S. who claim to read the Bible daily declined from 14% in 2019 to 9% in 2020. The 9% figure is the lowest reported in the 10-year history of the report. 9% of Americans, adults, read the Bible. How many Americans don't, you know, go without eating every day? Oh, we make sure we eat. You need to partake of the Word of God. The reason I bring this up is, again, when people don't know what the Bible has to say, whoever is up here can control them. You know, the big trend now is to darken the sanctuaries. You guys are all in the dark. I'm kind of in the light, but you guys are all in the dark. And it's really hard to read your Bible in the dark, isn't it? I don't know if you put a little headlamp on or what, but you can't. Oh, so the pastor will put whatever he wants up on the screen. So now you're depending upon him. But aren't we as Christians to be the light? So why are we in darkness? You know, you don't find me putting Bible verses on behind me. Why? Because I want you to open up your Bibles. And I want you to become lazy and not bring your Bibles. I think it's really important. If Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, if he's the only way to get to God the Father, can the religions then unite together, the religions of the world? No. Why? Because we can't. We can't. Jesus is the only way. It's not Buddha. It's not, you know, Joseph Smith and his ideas, or the Jehovah Witnesses and their ideas, or this group or that. Jesus is the only way, period. There is no exceptions to it. What's interesting is there's a one world religion headquarters that is going to open up, CRISLM. It's a Catholic-Muslim interfaith council created by Pope Francis. And it's going to open up this year. And it combines a mosque and a church. Isn't it interesting? This is coming together faster than I thought. And all this stuff is happening so, so fast, like I said. You know, look at the apostate church. This is what's going to be attacking us. This is who's going to come against us. And I'm not saying that this church was apostate, but, you know, many years ago, they were trying to make fun of us here at Calvary. And they said that, Calvary, you know, those are the ones that teach the Word of God. They teach the Bible. And they're trying to make fun of us. And I'm not saying they were apostate, but they're not making fun of me. That's what I do. I teach the Word of God. It'll be 27 years this summer. Teaching. We're going to start over in Genesis when we, you know, get through with Revelation. Probably another 30 years. No, we'll get through it. Think about Martin Luther. In 1517, when he put his 95 thesis and he was going against the Roman Catholic Church, the church came after him. They wanted him dead. To recant what he said or to die. You look at when the Bibles were being printed and they wanted to get them into the hands of the common people. It was the Roman Catholic Church that were trying to put to death those that were bringing these Bibles to the common people. And the reason being is that the truth will set you free. For years, the Roman Catholic Church said, you are not equipped to read the Bible. We will tell you what it says. If I ever say that, just shoot me. And I mean that. You are equipped. You know why you're equipped? Because you're saved and you have the Spirit of God in you and you could read, and the Spirit of God will open it up to you. But you see, they knew, like when Martin Luther read, and he said that he read the just shall live by faith, he realized, I don't need those indulgences. I don't need all those things to be saved because Jesus saves me. You see, the truth will set you free. We see here during the tribulation period that this false religious system is drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. Wow. Millions upon millions of Christians will be martyred for their faith during the tribulation period. Very tragic that the religious system is doing this, but that's exactly. The false church is always thirsting for the blood of the saints of God. And they try and silence them, to put them to silence. But you know what? They can't. They can't. You can't silence the things of God. We're going to finish up next time the destruction of this false religious system. But I want you to get a background of how this New Age movement has come into the church by leaps and bounds. You know, you talk with New Age people who were in the New Age movement and have become Christians, and they're shocked by what they see. They can't believe it. How it's the New Age has entered the church, has become a part of the church, and people aren't even thinking twice about it. We have to stick with the truths of God found in the Word of God, because God will never lead us astray. It's time for us to take a stand for what we believe in. It's not time for us to compromise our faith. And I'll tell you what. Yes, when you shine, you're going to irritate people because the darkness doesn't like the light. But there are some people who all of a sudden will be drawn and they'll come to saving faith. I wish they had, you know, they had marks on them to say, oh, this one's going to get saved. Well, Darren, I'm going to that one over there. You get the other guy who's not going to be saved, you know. It'd be a lot easier, wouldn't it? But God doesn't tell us. And many times we're just planting the seed. And sometimes they may get mad, you know, we give them a gospel tract, they get mad, they put it in their pocket. Or they throw it on the street. Someone comes by, they pick it up, and they look at it. And maybe that was for them. See, we don't know. I don't try to figure God out anymore because I mess up on that. I just trust in him. When he says to do something, I do it. You know, like I said, when I went to Russia, the number of people that were coming against me for going with, oh, there's COVID, you're going to, you know, get sick over there, what are you going to do? You know, Russia has got a high incidence of COVID going on. There's this war that's coming out, don't go. And I'm thinking, excuse me for the phrase, have we become panty wastes as Christians? Where is aren't we going to stand strong in the Lord and in the power of his might? Aren't we going to trust in him and go forward no matter what? You know, Paul said in Acts 20, none of these things move me. He was going to Jerusalem. He knew that chains awaited him there in Jerusalem. But he said, none of these things move me. I don't care. I'm going. And that's how I felt with Russia. The Lord's called me. I'm going to share on a Sunday. I'm not sure which Sunday yet. About all the things that happened to me prior to me going to Russia. I woke up one morning and it smelled like there was a fire in our house. It smelled like wires burning. And it was our dishwasher. We got the fire department there, you know. It was crazy. So many things happen that for the average person, they say, well, you know, it looks like God shut the door. And I thought, Satan's really coming after me. I don't know why, but he is. And I'll tell you what, when I went there, I couldn't believe what God did. I'll just share this one thing with you, and I'll close. Sorry. One of my teachings, the second to the last teaching, I taught 8 times out there, but my second to the last teaching at the pastor's conference, I was teaching, and one of the guys, he said to call him Archie. I don't know what his Russian name was, but we called him Archie. His eyes were really big. I mean, they were wide open. And I thought, wow, I don't know what's going on. I'm teaching and I'm going, I don't know what's going on with him. He's either really tired and trying to stay awake, or I don't know what's going on with the guy. And so, you know, I finished teaching. Afterwards, I sat down and we were all talking and he goes, I can't believe it. He said, every point you made in your sermon, before you taught, I just was talking to another pastor and we went through every single one of those. He said, I couldn't believe it. I said, well, you know, that's how God works. I said, you know, my last study is called The Eye of the Storm. And again, he was like, he goes, oh my gosh. He said, I was just talking to someone. I said, I feel like I'm in the midst of this storm and I can't get to the eye. And I'm in the midst of this. I'm like, that's so freaky, but it's God. Here I am in the United States working on these studies, and God is already working on the hearts of those people over there for the message. Don't negate what God is going to do. Don't be afraid to take those steps of faith. I don't care what kind of things you encounter. You go forward. You serve the Lord, and you see what he's going to do. And God sometimes gives you a little glimpse of what he's doing, and it just blows your mind. I taught at with the homeless shelter, and the guy from Calvary in Sochi, his name is Dima also, goes, man, I wish I would have recorded that. That was the greatest message ever. And I'm thinking, what are you talking? That was the greatest message ever. It ministered to him so much. It blessed him. That's how God works. You just share. And I didn't even have a message. I've just put it together that morning. Okay, I think this is what God wants me to share with these men who are homeless that now are in the shelter. And I saw God use it in a powerful way. We're coming at very dark times, but you know what? We're the light, so shine for him. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for being our God. And may we never forget that we have to put on the whole armor of God that we may be able to withstand the wiles or the schemings of the devil. We don't go into battle with nothing on. We put the armor of God on that we can stand strong in the power of your might. Because it's all about you. It's not about how strong we are. And when you call us, you will equip us and you will sustain us for the work you called us to do. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for showing us how important it is to be students of the word and not compromise our faith. We love you, Lord, and thank you and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread and communion, won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.